So we're going through the Bethel vision. We're going through the vision of Bethel. Let's connect, cultivate, and carry on. And speaking of connecting, cultivating, and carry on, before we get going, I want to say something. You guys are a part of something bigger than you know. You're a part of something bigger than just coming to this church and just filling a seat and leaving on Sunday and coming back the next Sunday. I know a lot of you in here know Luke Sprayberry. I know a lot of you watch Luke Sprayberry come here and grow up and raise his family and all the things. But man, today, Cody's over there preaching at Albany because it's Luke's 10th year anniversary of planting that church. Pretty cool, man. God can use anybody if he can use Luke Sprayberry, huh? Just kidding. So Cody did Connect last week. He talked about connecting with God, and he talked about connecting with God's people, and he talked about just getting connected and getting connected in a church and getting connected in your life with the Lord. And today I'm going to talk about cultivating. I'm going to talk about cultivating your faith. And when I hear that word cultivate, I think new things. Like as soon as I think of cultivate, I think new things. New things are coming. New things are going to happen. But we got to get serious about it. We're going to have to do some work, right? When you cultivate a field, it takes a lot of work. You farmers in here know what I'm talking about. We're going to have to do some work. And how many of you know, if we want some different outcome than we've always done and want some different outcome than we've always had in our life, and we want to stop going around the same old tree, we have to figure out that we got to do something that we've never done. So that being said, if you have your Bibles, flip to, scroll to, however you want to read the Word of God or read it up here, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 21 through 24. If you're ready, say, let's go. Let's go. Y'all are a little bit more lively than first service, but not much. Verse 21, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for the cool things that you're doing at Albany and at Sweetwater and at Stanford and here at Anson, God. Thank you for what you're doing in the families and the people that are here today, God. Thank you for what you're doing in their life today, but God, thank you for what you're going to do in their life after today. I pray that you would move my thoughts and my mouth and my words out of the way, Lord, and I pray that everything that comes out of me is something from you that you've given me to speak, that you've given me to study on this simple sermon, Lord. I pray that we would all learn and that we would all get somewhere today of putting the old man off and the new man on. And everybody said, amen. So Paul is writing to the churches of Ephesus, and he's telling them, man, now that you've learned the truth, now that you know the truth in Jesus, now that you know that he's real, now that you know I've taught you guys, I've preached to you guys, is what Paul's telling them. He said, now that you know the truth in Jesus, now that you know all these things, and a lot of us, if you're like me, have seen him work in your life, you've seen him bring you out of your old self and put you into your new self, and you're thankful for that. So he's saying, now that you know the truth, now that you've heard about Jesus, he's simply saying, do something with it. He's saying, do something with it. Do something with your new life. Do something with what God has freely given you and I. Do something with the new life that he's given to us. Verse 22 says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. This is before Christ. This is before you said, you know what? I'm going to give my life to Christ, like Connor said in the living room. I'm giving it all to you. I don't understand. I don't know. And I'm sick of how I'm living. I'm sick of what I've been doing. I'm sick of my thoughts. I'm sick of my mind, and I'm wore out. And somewhere in your life, if you're like me, you said, you know what? I'm going to give all I got to the kingdom of God. I'm going to give my life to Christ, and I'm going to come down here on a big baptism day, and I don't care what the people think, and I don't care what they know about me, my past, and I don't care if they know who I was then, but by God, the Lord's going to know that I'm all in for him and I have new life. And then it says, man, that it's your former life. It belongs to your former life. And somebody needs to know that. You got to know that you can get rid of your former life. You got to know that the old you is gone and God has a new you coming. You got to know that it doesn't matter how you talked then, how you acted then, what you did, but that belongs to your former life. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free, shout free. The free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized and will be saved, but whoever does not will be condemned. Look, he's not giving you a new saddle, Reggie. He's not giving us all the money in the world. He's not giving us a new pickup. He's not giving us things on this earth that will pass away, things that people can take from us. He's not giving us those things. He's freely giving you and I eternal life with him forever. It's all a choice. That's the Holy Spirit's working. I'll preach with the dark. I don't care. Check it out. So it said freely. It's freely given to you. And I don't know if it does anything for you, but just like I just got through saying, man, it was freedom in my life, freedom in my heart, and freedom on my mind when I sat there in that office that I've told y'all about, praying for Marley and praying for our family and praying for our messed up marriage. It was freedom when I could finally get to a place in my mind where I read this passage, Ephesians 4:21 through 23, that says the old God can be gone over here and the new God can come if I dig in and dive into the Word of God. I was free. It felt good. It excited me. It should excite you, but the most questions that I get asked since I've been doing this, we've been here a year and a half now, been preaching, trying to obey the word and obey the calling of God and be obedient to God. The two questions that people ask me the most through this year is this right here. How do I fix my marriage? Because everybody knows, if you know who we are, that's where we met God. That's where we had an encounter with God. We were messed up, jacked up, and you know what? God, if you're full of pride and if you're full of ignorance like I was, the Lord will break you, and he will break you and bring him to you, and he broke Marley and I and changed our lives. But the second thing is, they say, how do I change like you? And I always say to them, hey, look, I'm not perfect and I don't have it figured out. But I can tell you this wholeheartedly, I am a lot better than I used to be. I'm a lot better than I used to be because I chose to start digging into the Word of God. I chose to start changing the way I was living, the way that I was thinking. And I wanted to change, man, for a long time. My mother's sitting here, right down here, and she taught me the foundation of the Word of God. She taught me the importance of prayer. She taught me all the things that I needed to go flourish and to go do good in the kingdom of the Lord. But how many of you know the Bible says that the enemy is the craftiest one of all, and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and the enemy wants to take your life, and it doesn't matter if it happens today or if it happens at the end of your life, the enemy is not in a hurry to take you to hell. And I fell to the temptations of the world, and I went over here, and I lived this stupid life away from God. But how many of you know the Bible says if you raise up a child in the way that he should go, when he is old, he won't depart from it. So thank God for mothers. And if you're a praying mother, and you keep praying over your kids, know that the Lord will bring them back to your life. I wanted to change for a long time, and as I think about why, the things I didn't change, you know, I just want to ask you kids in here, who are your friends? What do your friends look like? Who's around you? There's three types of friends. Me and Marley were drinking coffee this morning at 5 talking about our types of friends. Who are your friends? You know, you got these friends that you're, some of us, and I was this guy, I wanted to be so much like some of these people that I would hang out with them, but all they did was bash me. All they did was throw me down. All they did, but I just wanted to be like them so bad that I just stayed with them. And then there's some friends like I have now, Cody and Connor, who are lifting me up, who give me a punch, who get me going, who make me believe in the calling of the Lord has on my life. And then also, when I jack up and when I mess up, they come to me and they say, look, dude, you got to get a hold of yourself. You got to pay attention. What you're doing is not right, and that sharpens me. Iron sharpens iron, so as one man sharpens another. And the third type of friend that people have to make them feel better is this right here. When we have friends that always just praise us. They always just tell us how good we are, how good we preach, how good we teach school, how good we mother. If they always just tell you you're good, and look, we need to tell our friends how much we love them and how proud we are of them and what they're doing in their life. But also, if your friend is messing up, be a good friend and help them. Help them and have discernment through the Word of God of what you're doing with your friends. Your friends matter, and your friends will keep you from changing or not changing. I tried to stop, man. I tried to stop doing the things. My mind was consumed on the things for a long time. The things, what was keeping me from God. But if I'm being honest, nothing changed until I worked on my brain. Nothing changed until I worked on my brain. If you Google what runs the body, it'll say the brain. Like your brain runs your mind. Paul, he didn't have Google. Paul had this jacked up prison and this messed up life he was living in. But Paul was smart enough to know the power of your mind. And he wrote down in verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Some of you and me on a daily basis need to renew our minds. We need to renew our minds. When you start having thoughts of, well, they're scheming this about me and they're talking to me about all these things that come to my stupid mind, I got to get a hold of. I got to pay attention. Okay, the Lord's not going to send me horrible thoughts, so it's got to be the enemy. I'm going to get a hold of a mind. I'm going to renew my mind. It's a constant struggle for me, but Paul says it's key. It's key, your mind. So my answer to how I change, how do you change? How do you get off of your old life? How do you get into your new life? How do you step into the creation that God has for you? You got to start with your mind. Because if we just go on the things, man, we got a lot of things. If we go on the things, we'll just be overwhelmed with, I got to fix this and this and this. Just start with your mind. One thing. Today, I'm going to work on my mind. Romans 12:2, it's my favorite scripture. It says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So if my mind is a big old field, if this brain right here is a big old field, and farmer comes, who's a Gage Morehouse farmer over here, he's been farming up, boy. He comes and he's going to work on the field. He's going to get it going. He's going to get it ready and he's going to cultivate it. What does he do? Well, he drops the plow. What's the plow do? The plow is breaking it up. It's breaking up new ground. It's changing the way that it looks. It's getting rid of the weeds. It's getting rid of the things that won't let wheat come up, or whatever you're planting, whatever is going to bring fruit. It's getting the junk out. He's preparing the field for new things to be put in. He's preparing it for new things that are going to bring life, new things that are going to prosper, new things that are going to bring us healthy things. Some of us have no room in our minds. Some of our fields are jacked up. Some of our fields are full of rag weeds, make you sneeze, son of a guns. Some of your fields are filled up. But you got to know, it don't happen real fast. When a farmer drops that plow, them old tractors are slow. It's exactly why I don't drive one. I don't do slow very good. But that being said, man, some of you are sitting here today just like I was, and you're sitting here and you have a whole string of bad friends and you have a bad habits and you have hard hearts and you can't see outside of your circle and you can't see outside of your struggles and you can't see where the Lord's trying to take you, just like Connor got through talking about, because your word and your mind is not grounded in the word of God. We're hung up on what we see and what we're living in, and we can't ever get past that. Look, if that's you though today, it's okay, because everybody that God used in the word of God, everybody that God used in the Bible was jacked up and messed up at some point. Know that. But your butt being in that seat this morning tells me that you have heard the truth of Jesus Christ. You know the church is the place that you should come. You know that you come and you get filled up. You know that there's freedom in the Lord. You know these things. So that tells me that you know the truth in Christ. So now you just got to realize it ain't going to change overnight. Look, how I lived for 24 years or however didn't change overnight. It didn't change overnight. Our 6 years of marriage that was messed up, jacked up, it didn't change overnight. Nothing's going to change overnight. You got to spend a little time. You got to get a hold of your mind and start doing some digging. We got to start doing a little digging. We got to drop the plow, get rid of some people, get rid of some things. Some people that you got to get rid of are your family. It's the way that it is. Some people want to keep you. Some of your family members aren't helping you get closer to the cross. And we can pray for them and we can love on them from a distance and we can hope that we have an encounter with Christ and all this stuff, but you got to pay attention to your walk with Christ, because your family member's walk is not your walk. Some of our friends are jacked up, messed up, just like I was at one point. But we got to pay attention and not get sucked into how they're living, because we've already been there. You know, the Bible says when he sent his disciples out two by two, he says, go here and go there. But if somebody doesn't receive the word of God, dust your feet off, get the dust off. And the reason he said that is so that you don't get enticed and you don't get pulled back into your old life. So we got to pay attention. We got to get our minds renewed. Now we've connected with God. We've connected with others. We've heard the truth about Jesus Christ. We've learned that we can put away the old man and we can put away the old woman. We've renewed our minds. We've drug the plow through our lives and broke ground so that new things can be put in. So now what does Paul say we need to do? Verse 24, and to put on the new life, the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The new self, the new mind, the new you. This should be exciting for you and I. It's exciting to do new things, right? It's exciting to get a new horse. It's exciting to get a new shirt or a new whatever that gets you going in your life. It should be exciting that you can leave your old self. I don't know about you. Maybe you were perfect your whole life. Maybe you've lived a great life. God bless you, and God probably is blessing you, but I didn't. So when I found out that I could get away from the old Cole and put on the new Cole, I was excited. New self, new mind, new heart, new friends, new habits, new mouth. Still trying to work on that part. Right, Spur. Hard to preach in front of your good friends. But new life, man, it's exciting and it's real. New life. And you and I were created after the likeness of God, but you and I, a lot of us, and I'm not saying everybody, spend a lot of time trying to be somebody else. And if me and you are trying to be somebody else, God has a plan for you, and a plan's not to harm you, but plans to prosper you, the word says. And if we are trying to be somebody else, then we can never tap into what God has called us to be, and God can't work on us if we're not being our true selves. God can't work. He can't work there. So 1 Corinthians 15:49, it says, just as we have borne the image of man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. He created you in his image. He created you for things. He has plans for you. When you come out of your mother's womb, he has plans for your life, but it's our choice to tap into those plans or to follow the world. It's our choice. We got to renew our minds. And if you're like me and been a turd forever, you're thinking, there ain't no way I can be like God. There ain't no way I can imitate Christ. There's no way. And you know what? You're right. But through the word of God, he can through you. Through the word of God, he can create everything that he created you to be when you start digging into the word of God. The Bible, the number one selling book in America. If we dive into that thing, he will show you the new self, the new creation. I'm kind of weird and think about things weird, or maybe I'm just simple, but the way I saw this 4 years ago, that verse that I'm preaching on today is one of the first things when I said, you know what, I'm going to read the word every day. I made a decision in my mind when I surrendered. I'm going to read the word every day, and I'm going to pray over my family, pray over my marriage, and if I can't fix it, so maybe the Lord can. I was at the bottom of my rope. I had hit rock bottom, and that was the first verse I came through, talking about putting the old guy off and the new guy on. So the way that I saw it, man, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anybody's in Christ, he is now a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. I was so excited when I heard that. This was a weight lifted off of me. A weight lifted off of me. I saw it like this. I saw, well, I know the old Cole. I know how he talked. I know how he acted. I know how he thought. I know where his priorities were. Work, himself, his family, backwards from what they need to be. I know him. But my Bible's now telling me that I'm a new creation because I, Romans 10:9, I believe with my heart and I confess with my sins that he did come and die and raise again. So now I'm a new creation. It set me free. It lifted me up. It should set you free. It should give you something to shoot for. So I say all that to say I never met the new creation. At that point in my life, I only knew the old one. But through my belief, the Bible says I'm a new creation. The Bible's real. The Bible's sharper than a two-edged sword. So that drove me to find who I was in Christ. You and I will never really know who we are until we find who we are in Christ. And the only way we can find who we are in Christ is to dig in to the Word of God. We got to read the word and we got to get in it, but we got to do it every day. We got to do a little bit a day. We got to cultivate it. Cultivate it inside of us. It can't be once a week, twice a week, anything you do once or twice a week. Where are the football players at? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Football players. All right, got them. You ain't no football player. You Alabama Roll Tide. Woo! 100 years old, thinks she's going to play a ball game. We need a mindset of her, I'm just saying. So listen. If you go to practice once a week, you ain't going to win no ball games. You ain't going to know your team. You ain't going to know the plays. You ain't going to know what you're doing. We got to dive in. We got to do it every day. We got to stay in the Word of God. I have a colt named Stick. Me and Hayes named him Stick because when he come to us about 60 days ago, he come in there looking like a rail that you painted gray like this. I'm talking hard to keep your saddle on. And this son buck thought, even though he was little and even though he was skinny, he thought he needed to be at the NFR in the bucking horse pen. And I had Stone Dixon. We called him the Hubert Hustle. Anyway, Stone started this bronc for me. He was my test dummy. See what this thing was going to do. And he crawls up there, and for 60 days, you couldn't talk him out of it. For 60 days, this is a bucking little son of a gun. And Stone, he'd sit up there, wah, wah, riding the crap out of him, woo, hollering, screaming, having fun. Not really. He was like, oh, God. I didn't buck him off, though. But after 60 days, after we tapped into him every day, after we studied him every day, after we spent a little time with him every day, and after we ignored the crap, and we didn't just hang up on his bucking habit, and we didn't just hang up on the bad things that he did, we started pouring into this thing. Now you can get on old Stick. Some buck is fat, full alfalfa, got good looking, and you can put your hands out here and keep your legs out of him, and he'll walk off. He learned, man. Hey, they're still going to keep chipping away. He learned what they want me to do. We'll learn what God wants us to do if we get in the Word daily. The Bible's the water for your newly broken body. Water grows things. If you continually put the word in you, and I continually put the word in me, we'll grow. God wants you to grow. God is always going to keep us growing. So trust that if you'll put the word in you, your life will be changed forever. I can't do it for you. I can only tell you about it. You can't even do it for me, but I can't explain it all to you. And your life and your plans that God has for you are going to look different than mine. But we got to dive in, and we got to dive in and seek him, and he'll reveal things to you within your own personal relationship. But it's got to be constant. Also, staying in the word keeps the new guy alive. It keeps the new person alive. It keeps you new in your creation with God. It keeps you alive, and it keeps you striving for new things. There's no, I mean, it's a lot, me and Connor were talking about it between services. It's harder to go fail and harder to mess up and harder to go back to that old man if you're in the Word daily. So continue to stay in the Word. Continue to stay with it. You know, and people, Cody says this all the time. He always says, how do you stay so fired up after all the things that people have done to you and said to you and accused you and this and left the church and came back to the church and the church falling down, building a new church, all this stuff that goes on for a preacher who preached for 25 years. How do you stay so with it? How do you stay so passionate? And I was, when he said that, I was like, oh, this is going to be a good answer, but get my notebook out. Simple. He said, I read the Word of God daily and I stay close to God. If it's that simple, you and I can do it. If we read, man, the Word is powerful. Connor, if you want to come, we'll wrap it up. Please, sir. But I want to ask you a serious question before we close down today. But before I ask you, let me say, man, we do this for our free gift of eternal life. We do church to bring others to Christ for freedom. We do this because we didn't earn it. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. But God blessed us with eternity just through our belief in Him. And what He did for us. And also in Mark 16:15, Jesus told him, he said, hey, look, go tell the world about me. Go tell the world about me. Go tell the world what God did in your life. Go tell the world what you've learned in your Word. Go tell the world what you're studying. Get with your friends. Get with your circle. Talk about the Lord. Grow each other up. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Get with the program. Dive into your Word and go spread the gospel. So that being said, if Jesus told him, this is no joke. It's no joke. It's not a light subject. It's not a light thing. So the big question is, if you haven't taken any notes at all and you have a pen and paper, write this down and take it home with you. If the Bible is the key to cultivation in your life and the key to your relationship with God, what in your life is keeping you from reading the Word daily? What is keeping you from getting into your Word on a daily basis? Just let it soak in. Answer it. The list of possibilities is very long. But something is. Some of us get in it and read it every day, but you know what? The ones that get in it and read it every day used to not get in it and read it every day. So don't think that there's nobody here better than you. Don't think that if they read their Word or I read my Word and you don't, man, we're just driving the nail in. No. Somewhere we made up in our mind, we're going to get up and read the Word of God. And if I'm being honest, I asked myself this 4 years ago when I surrendered in that pasture, and I told y'all the story. Y'all know where I met, I knew the Lord and all the things, but when I really surrendered and gave my life to Christ is when I was sitting in that office at the Callan camp at Seymour. And it didn't take me long to write this list down. The first thing that kept me reading my Word of God was my work. I was more worried about my work than I was reading the Word of God. I was more worried about being a good cowboy and being a good campman and all these things than I was reading the Word of God. Another thing was my iPhone, social media. Just being honest. Another thing we talked about, my friends. Were they bad people? No. Great guys. But were they pulling me closer to the bloodstained cross? Nope. So the ones that weren't, man, I had to separate. I had to do something. Because my walk with Christ is not their walk with Christ. My life, my eternity is not their eternity. Hopefully one day through prayer and through life, man, they'll give their lives to Christ and all the things. But at that moment, I had a choice to make. And the last one was alcohol. I could tell myself in the barn in the evening, I'll just have one or two. But then somebody would show up. And a horse trade would go down or something. Never failed. And then I would be out late right there across the road from my house. And I would go in the house and my wife who had the kids bathed and have the kids in bed. And there'd be a cold plate of supper. I'm not saying any of those things are bad that I just mentioned. They're good if you can handle them, if you can do what you're supposed to do. But I am saying this. It's time to cultivate your faith. It's time to cultivate your faith and do something with it. This is like eternal life. Why would you want to let it set and get stale and stagnant and no good? Do something with it. It's time to prepare, man, for all that God has for you. But it's also to stop doing stuff for us and start doing stuff for God. We got to start doing stuff for God. He done it all for you, done it all for me. How much stuff do we do for him? And then some of us in here, we're going to have to get rid of some bad ground. We're going to have to drop the plow. You're going to have to get some new habits, some new thoughts, some new friends, some new family. Pay attention. Don't let the enemy drag you down, man. I'm telling you, the word says he's the craftiest of all. All that being said, I want the best for every single one of you in here. And I want y'all to experience the Lord like Marley and I got to experience the Lord. So if you're here today and you filled in that blank while ago when we paused, if you filled it in with something, don't fill it in with the things and don't fill it in with all the stuff, but just whatever that one big thing is that keeps you from going to the Word of God daily. You've been fighting it, it's wearing you out, and today you say, you know what, I don't need it. I don't need it in my life. I'm going to plow it up and I'm going to put the new man on. I'm going to put the new mom on. I'm going to put the new daughter on, the new son on. I ain't going to have an altar call. I ain't going to have a hand raise. I ain't going to have you stand up. But right now today, in a real moment, in this song, get with the Lord, you and him and your relationship. And I just encourage you to make up in your mind today before you walk out those doors, to make up in your mind that you're going to make some room in your mind for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for these people. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can step away from our old life and put the new life on. Thank you that you can make us a new creation in Christ, God. Thank you that we don't have to stay where we chose and made our decisions to keep going around the same tree and to keep fighting the same enemy and to keep fighting the same things that wear us out, God. But thank you for giving us an out. Thank you for giving us freedom and new life, Lord. Help us to realize and know and understand that we have newness in life, Lord. But we got to tap into it, that no one else can tap into it for us. But God, if we just tap into it a little bit, Lord, we know that you're always going to level up. We know that you're always going to do your part. And if anybody ever fails, God, it's us. So I pray, God, that our failures would become less, Lord, that we become up there with you, Lord, that we know that you're working on your level. So Lord, help us to level up. Help us to do what you've called us to do, God. Help the people in here who are struggling, the people that can't get rid of the old self, who think that there's no way out of it, and they're worried about what everybody's going to think when they become this new person in Christ. I pray, God, that you would give them strength and remind them that you say your mercies are new every day, Lord, and that they're a new creation, and that if Romans 8:28 is true, God, all things work out for the good who love them, and if they love you, and if they love you, God, you'll work in their life and you'll do things in their life. I just pray, God, give them some strength to know they can get away from their old self and put on the new life in Christ. Speak to them as they go through this song, Lord. Be with them. Be with your people. Give them strength to change, Lord. We're not meant to stay the same, God. You want to transform us. You want to use us more than our job, more than our whatever it is in our life, God. Let us see the big picture. Let us zoom out. Speak to us in this song. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.